Chayrish. Let's try it. Okay, so the Mishnah says on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, Batzik HaChayrish. What if you have dough that is a Chayrish? A Chayrish means a deaf mute. In other words, the dough is not responsive. Right, what happens, Gavriel? You put in some water. You expect it to start the chimutz process, the leavening process, and nothing's happening. So the Mishnah says, Im yesh ki yotze bo shehech mitzhareza asur. So how can you figure out if this dough has become chametz? Im yesh ki yotze bo, if there's a comparable dough, shehechmitz, meaning you started two batches of dough at the same time. One of them is clearly becoming chametz. The other one is cheresh. It's unresponsive. It's not communicating. It's not telling us what's happening to it. So if I look at one dough, and I see that this one's clearly chametz, and the one next to it is not really giving me any indication, but I know it was started at the same time, what can I assume about this one?
That it's
aser.
What's the indication of chametz? It rises?
It's rising. There's other indications, yeah. The Mishnayos have all sorts of funny descriptions of what is an indication. So the Gemara says, and what if I only have this one batch of dough that's unresponsive? How do I figure out if it's chametz or not? Says the Gemara in the second line, im ein sham ki yotze bo mahu. What if there is no dough to compare it to? So what's the halacha? Am Rabbi Abo, Am Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kidei sheyelech adam mimigdal nunya l'teveria mil. The amount of time it takes a person to walk a mil, a mile. A mil is how many amos?
2,000.
2,000 amos. How long does that take?
18 minutes.
We typically assume 18 minutes. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's where you've got that number in your head from. But I want to be honest and be fair and point out that there are Rishonim. Rambam has a longer shir. Other Rishonim have an even longer shir. Some say 22 and a half minutes. Some say 24 minutes. Now again, you're never going to find the box of matzah that says this matzah was baked in less than 24 minutes. 24 minutes, what is that? Oh yeah, there's a sheet in the Rishonim that say a mil is 24 minutes. But you should know, b'shas harchak, the Bir Halacha says there could be a situation, hefsid gadol, where there's major financial concerns, or it's a very difficult situation. There would be certain situations where we may allow for even more than 18 minutes. But in our heads, everyone knows a mil is what? Is 18 minutes. And that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. 18 minutes. And now we'll see over the course of this year, 18 minutes is, again, is sort of the far end of the equation. It could be that there are things that happen to the chametz which would make it become, what happens to the dough which would make it become chametz in even less than 18 minutes. Okay? But this is the source, the Mishnah and the Gemara and Psachim Mem Vav. This is the source for 18 minutes. You've heard of it before. This is the source, yeah.
Maybe I'm just a little confused, but what does it matter if it's chametz? You know, aren't you going to get rid of it anyways? Because it's
no. I want to make matzah.
But if it's
like misafik, I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah, because like if it's not rising, then it's bad. You're going to throw it out. No.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
Matzah doesn't rise.
It's not creating dough. It's like, what are you going to do with it?
No, it's already dough. It's dough that's either being bread.
It's dough that, for whatever reason, is not giving me a clear sign of having undergone the chimutz process. Okay, let's learn a little more. Let's see a little more, and then we'll see. Yeah, Avi.
How do we directly translate the Mishnah?
The Mishnah, Batek HaCheresh?
Yeah.
Batek HaCheresh, if you have dough which is literally a deaf mute, in other words, unresponsive. Im yesh ki yotze bo shechmitz. Im yesh, if there is, ki yotze bo, similar to it. In other words, that second batch, shechmitz, which is clearly chametz, then hareza asur. So that indicates that, you know, that the one that's not giving you an indication is in fact asur. By comparing it, right, ki yotze bo, to the one that is ki yotze bo, like it, similar to it.
Shechmitz,
that it became chametz. Right, if the second batch is clearly chametz, so then Hareza Asr, the first batch, even though it doesn't look chametz, we have to assume is also chametz. Okay? That's Gemara number one. Let's introduce three Gemaras to get ourselves started. Gemara number two is an interesting Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Eilu dvarim she'ein ba'an lidei chimutz ha'afoy. These are things that cannot become chametz. Once it's fully baked, it is no longer subject to chametz. So why do some people not eat gebraks? It's a chumrah. It's a concern that maybe it's not fully baked, right? Maybe if I take the matzah and I put it in my hot soup, it'll actually become baked at that time. Okay, but the pashup shot is a matzah. Once it's been fully baked, nothing can happen to it. It cannot become chametz after it's been fully baked. And then the Gemara has an interesting comment. Look at the second line in source 2. Tani Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kemach Shenafo L'socho Delef. If you have flour that a delef has fallen into it, a delef means, Rashi says, a leaky roof. So you have water dripping from the roof, landing right on top of the flour. So you figure what? How much time do you have from the time the water starts dripping? You think from the previous Gemara, 18 minutes. Says the Gemara, shocking thing. Afilu kol yom kulo, if it keeps dripping all day long, eino ba lidei chimotz. It doesn't become chametz. Amar of Papa, v'hu da'avid tif lahade tif. But that's only if it's what? If the drips are right next to each other, drip, 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 with no interruption. But I don't understand that. I thought from the time you mix in the water, the clock is ticking. So what exactly is going on in this very mysterious Gemara? What's happening? And by the way, that is the halacha. Look at source number 4. Kemach shenafal lav delef afilu kol hayom eino ba lidei chimotz. If you have flour that water is dripping upon all day, it does not become chametz. V'hu shehadelef toreid b'li hafsek. As long as the drips are what? Are making a constant effort without any interruption. As long as it keeps dripping, then it's not going to become chametz. V'ya'afenu miyad l'kishi yafsek. And when it stops dripping, then you need to bake it immediately. So what, immediately? Do I have 18 minutes at least? So Mishnah Berurah clarifies, ideally you want to bake it as soon as the rain stops dripping, right? So now the dough is wet. So since the dough is already wet, you should quickly knead it and bake it right away. Obviously, yes, says the Mishnah Berurah, really you have up to 18 minutes, but we don't like to have any interruptions. That's the truth. If you've ever been to a matzah bakery, we like to keep everything moving the whole time. We'll learn about why that is. So as soon as the drips stop, so then you have to get it baked as quickly as you can, is basically the idea of this halacha. But it's very interesting. If it keeps dripping, I can go way beyond 18 minutes, it sounds like, which is so interesting. We don't know enough yet to fully understand why that might be, but we're going to find out. Yeah.
I thought you said that it's only once you take it out of the water. You have 18 minutes, so if it's like submerged in the water, then it's...
Well, it's
like
not about submerged, because it's talking about this dripping. Right, it's not just submerged, because if you just put it in the water, then we have to be nervous that the clock is ticking. For some reason, there's something about this dripping, which again we have to understand. We're going to understand it in a minute, right? That somehow is protecting it from becoming chametz, which we don't yet fully understand. So let's see. Okay, so we need one more Gemara, one more Mishnah in Gemara, a Mishnah in the third parak, Mishnah Dalit on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, source number 5. A machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Okay, what's the case? Take a look at source number 5. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Nashim Lashos Ka'achas Va'ofos B'tanur Echad Zo Acher Zo. 3 women are Lashos. However, what is Lash? It's one of the 39 Malachos. What's Lash?
Kneading.
3 women are kneading their dough at the same time, and they're Ofos B'tanur Echad, and they're baking in one oven, Zo Acher Zo, but back to back. In other words, there's only enough room in the oven for one of them to bake at a time. But all 3 of them want to prepare the dough at the same time. So again, picture the scene. You have 3 women. Each one is preparing their dough. And then what happens? Well, one of them is going to now put their dough into the oven. What are the other 2 going to do?
Wait.
Sit around. Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm not concerned. 3 women can knead their dough and share one oven. Zo achar zo, says Rashi. The line right under it, ve'ein kan chimot, there's no concern of chametz. Afal pisha achas mamtenes achiyafu hashtayim. Even though woman number 3, right, one of the women is waiting for the other 2 to bake. In other words, there's 2 people ahead of her, and she's sitting around for a while. She's waiting. So she prepares the dough, and she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting. Rabbi Gamliel says, don't worry. As long as it's just 3 women, he didn't say 20 women could do this, then the dough is sitting around for too long. But for 3 women to prepare the dough at the same time and then to bake it back to back, Rabbi Gamliel is not concerned that it's going to become chametz. V'chachamim omrim shalosh nashim oskos bebatzek. If 3 women want to do their dough at the same time, prepare the dough at the same time, achas lasha, one of them should be kneading, v'achas oreches, and one of them should be shaping, in other words, rolling out the matzahs, V'achas ofer. In other words, make an assembly line. So there's no downtime. Right? The first one is kneading. When she's done kneading and she moves on to the rolling station, then the second one starts kneading. When number one moves on to the baking station, then each one moves up, and they keep this cycle going around and around and around.
That's what they do in lots of countries now.
That's what we do. Right? We don't want any downtime. We don't want the dough just sitting around. Rabbi Gamliel says, if it's just three women, I'm sure you'll get it done. Again, we know the Mishnah Daf Mem Vav. So presumably, Rabbi Gamliel says, if it's three women, I'm sure you can get it all done within 18 minutes. But Chachamim Omrim, we don't like the idea of dough just sitting around. Not a great idea. And therefore, if three women want to bake together, so streamline the process in such a way that there's no downtime. Okay, makes sense. And Rabbi Akiva, presumably supporting the Chachamim, says in the last line of source 5, Lo kol ha-nashim, v'lo kol ha-etzim, v'lo kol ha-tanorim shavin. Not all women, not all wood, and not all ovens operate the same. They're not all equal. In other words, what? He's challenging Rabbi Gamliel. He's saying, how can you assume that they're going to get the job done in 18 minutes? What if they're not diligent? What if the oven's not so hot and it takes longer to bake? Right? So see, what if the wood doesn't burn as well? So Rabbi Akiva is essentially supporting the opinion of Chachamim that we got to keep the process moving. We don't want the dough sitting around. We're too nervous. But Gamliel says if it's three women, they'll probably get the job done in time. Chachamim don't like that at all. Yeah, Ali.
I'll give you completely the same point, but 18 minutes is the same. That's the only constant. I'm saying, why does it matter if the oven or anything else is different based on the 18 minutes?
Because if the oven is warmed up in advance and very hot, so it'll be ready to go. It'll be able to pop the matzahs in and out much quicker. If the oven's not as hot, it may be a slower baking process. Right? If you didn't warm up the oven yet, you're going to need some time to get the oven going. So we don't want to create a process where there's downtime. We want everything to be, step, step, step. One to the next, yeah.
I think that Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva are also promoting also, like a unity thing as well, that as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel, where like each woman's kind of doing their own their own thing of matzah, like from their own dough, like they're each inputting work and effort into all of their matzahs together.
Okay, it's a nice idea. It's a good vart. Okay. Yeah.
Shavin is operating.
The shavin means equal. Not all women are equal. Not all wood burns equally well, and not all ovens are equally hot. So Rabbi Akiva says, it's not shavet, it's not equal. Okay. So now here's the big question. If you go to source number 6, Tanu Rabbanan, so the Gemara again presents this assembly line process, right? One woman bakes, and one woman rolls, and one woman kneads. Not in that order. One woman kneads, one woman rolls, one woman bakes, and they keep the cycle going. And then the Gemara says in the last line, Kol zman she'oskos bebatzik eino bali dechimetz. As long, that's the title of today's shir. Kol zman she'oskos bebatzik, as long as you keep busy with the dough, it will not become chametz. However, what is the question that troubled the Rishon? Is that statement commenting on this process of three women working together? Or is this statement totally independent? In other words, as long as you keep working the dough, you're still limited by what? By three women working in this way. That's still the maximum amount of dough and people that we want working at a time. Or no, is kol zman she'oskos bebatzik, as long as you're busy with the dough, right? Eino bali dei chimutz forever. As long as I'm manipulating the dough, I could go as long as I want. Do we have any indication that that's true already? We have the case of what?
The drops,
right? As long as it keeps dripping, what did the Gemara say? Kol yom kulo. It sounds like as long as you're working the dough, it'll never become chametz. So the Rishonim debate exactly, is this line qualifying, is it clarifying the opinion of the Chachamim? Or is this an independent statement that as long as you're diligent with the dough, you can go forever. So turn to page 2. Let's see.
It seems submerging the water.
Say again?
If the dough is like sunk in water, just sitting there, is that the same thing?
No, that's not osik.
It has to be moving.
Gotta be osik. Yeah, you gotta be busy with it. If it's sitting, it's starting to become chametz. As long as we're manipulating it, we're preventing it from undergoing that process of becoming chametz. Okay? So in the Chidushei Rabbeinu David on Maseches Pesachim, written in the 13th century by a student of the Ramban, He says very, very clearly, and this is how he introduces it. He says, Kol zman she'oskos bebatzek eino bali dechimot perish. Kol zman shehein askos bebatzek eino bali dechimot. What are the next two words? Bizaseder. As long as you still play by this framework, three women, assembly line, as long as they stay busy, that's enough to keep us calm. Aval ein lomar, but we can't say. She'im yehei osek kol yom kulo shelo bali dechimot. I mean, you can't just play with the dough all day and keep manipulating it and prevent it. At a certain point, we have to assume that the chametz process is going to kick in. So what about the leaky roof? What about the leaky roof, Gemara? Rabbeinu David certainly knew about it. So he says in the fourth line, look at the fourth line, V'hod amrinan bekemach shenafo lesocho delef, afilu kol ayom kulo eino bali dechimot. What about the Gemara that says, if it's dripping all day, it won't become chametz? He says, where it's underlined in line 5, Eino kishomo kol hayom mamish. That's not to say that what? The entire day. I mean, you can't literally just have the dough never becoming chametz just by dripping a little water on it. Elalomar shuhu kemisha osek babatzek. All that's saying is that a dripping of the water is similar to a woman kneading with her hands. It's as if you're still being osek, but the regular rules apply. And then he says, and maybe it's even a little bit better than that because when you're kneading the dough with your hands, what are you doing to the dough? You're warming up the dough. Right? Warmth is going to create what? Warmth is going to create the possibility of chimut. It speeds up the chimut process. Cold water dripping on it actually will maybe slow down the process. So maybe it's even better, but not to say, kol yom kula mamish. That much we're not ready to say. That much we're not prepared to say. Okay? So again, if you want to extend the time, okay, so you have to be busy with the dough, but you're still somewhat limited in terms of how far you could stretch that process to prevent it from becoming chametz. Comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva says, while some Rishonim learn it that way, the Rambam was lenient. We'll see the Rambam in a moment. But before we see the Rambam, I want to show you how the Ritva so sensitively but so firmly criticizes the Rambam, okay? Look how rabbis who really believe in Torah speak about each other. Look at the last paragraph in source number 8, where it says Ve'ilu. Okay, you see where it says Ve'ilu? He says, the Rambam was lenient about this whole thing. In other words, the Rambam understood the Gemara literally, which means what? That as long as you keep kneading the dough, you could go the entire day. Which means that the Gemara about the drip, 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 drip is also to be taken literally. As long as it's still dripping, it will not become chametz the whole day. So the Ritva says, look at these words. V'ilu hayu hashmuos ba'alma machrichos lefarish kin lahakel. If the indication of the Gemara's was such that I really felt that there's room to interpret this leniently, vada hayinu shomim lahem. If that's what I felt was the consensus, if that's how people learned the Gemara, if that was the genuine consensus, I would listen. I would say that that's the halacha. Aval ein shum, or it's bolded, aval ein shum raya lepirush hadachu kazeh habol lahakel ela minag ha'olam bilvad. He says, but there's nothing that I truly feel supports the opinion of the Rambam to be lenient, other than the fact that it would make life more convenient for people. It would be possibly helpful. And this is an example where the minag is negating the halacha in a negative sense. Sometimes we say that a minag, if that's the minag, that's the minag. But the minag here, he says, I think is against the halacha. I don't think this is a good idea. It brings bad things upon the world. And it brings people to what? To possibly eating matzah, that they think is matzah, which is in fact chametz according to my opinion. And then look what he writes in the last two lines. Beautiful lashon, where it's underlined. Va'af al pi she'ein lanu gadol b'rabbanim mi'Moshe Rabbeinu zatzal. And even though there's no one greater than Moshe, who's Moshe Rabbeinu? Who's he talking about?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. He said, there's no one greater than Moshe, our Rebbe. He's talking about the Rambam. And the Rambam says like this. This is how he rules. She'don kach. Here's how he rules. Nonetheless, ein maso ponim b'halacha. I can't, what? Can't support something I don't believe in halacha. Masa panim means there's no favoritism in halacha. I don't care that the Rambam was so great. I still don't think he's correct. I can't support an opinion like this. Certainly not lechadchila. Maybe b'di'evit, I could sign off on such a thing, but I can't. This is not how I learned the Gemara. I don't read it this way. So how did the Rambam read it? How did the Rambam learn? The Rambam did a big service for Klal Yisrael. The Rambam, and you'll see when we get into an explanation, Pnimiyas HaTorah, what's really this halacha is about, you'll see how the Rambam did a tremendous service to the Jewish people. Says the Rambam in source number 9, Kol's man sha'adam oseg babatzek, as long as you're busy with the dough, afilu kol yom kulo eino balidei chimutz. You can go and go, you can knead and knead and knead and work the dough and work the dough and work the dough, and it will not become chametz. But if you withdraw your hands and you leave it, and the batzik now remained to the point that it emits a sound when a person strikes it, which is one of the indicators, the Gemara says, of chametz, that when you hit it, it lets out like a hissing sound. So then, kvar hechmitz v'yisarif miyad. Then it's chametz, and you need to burn it immediately. And if it's not sure, if you're not sure how long that is, he says in the third line, "Imsha kadesh yahalich adam mil kvar hechmitz." If 18 minutes it sits without being manipulated, then what? Then it will definitely become chametz. But if you keep working the dough, if you keep working the dough, you can go the entire day like that. You can go forever like that. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Meiri in source number 11 says, yes, that's what the Gemara says. The Meiri says, Mikol makom klal gadol amar b'Gemara, al kol ha'isos. The Gemara told us a rule about any dough. Kol zman sha'adam asuk b'batzek eino bali dechimot. As long as you keep working it, it won't become chametz. And what does that mean? Upir shubo gedolei ha'machabrim b'peirushei ha'mishnah. He's referring to the Rambam. Afilu yom echad shalim. The Mefarshim explain it. You can go forever like this. And the proof is that Gemara about the drippy roof on Daf Lamed Tes. If it keeps dripping and it keeps dripping, then what? Then it's not going to become chametz. Because this is an example of what? Of being busy with the dough. And then he says, and some people say that it's bound by the rules of the three women who are baking in an assembly line. But the Meiri says, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's true. I think the assembly line is one way to do it. But if a person was diligent, if you could attest to the fact that I did not stop manipulating the dough nonstop, I didn't take a break at all, then I can go beyond the 18 minutes. And that's the Meiri's support of the round. Okay? So this is the opinion of the Rambam. And Chavra, this is in fact the halacha. Let's jump to page 3, source 15. What is the halacha? Halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. What does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yanicho ha'isa b'lo esek afilu rega echad. Ideally, one should not stop working, manipulating the dough for even a second. Which is why in a matzah factory, we keep it moving. We don't stop for a second. There's no downtime whatsoever. And the Rambam, like the Rambam taught us, v'chol zman shemisaskim bo afilu kol hayom eino machmitz. As long as you keep going, it will not become chametz. V'emenicho b'lo esek shir mil havei chametz. But if you withdraw your hands for 18 minutes for a mil, then it's chametz. How long is a mil? The halacha paskins, a mil is 18 minutes. Okay? So that's the halacha. Now, I want to add one more interesting point in halacha, and then we're going to relearn the whole sugya in machshava. Okay? But one more very, very interesting question first in halacha. What happens if you're working and working and working the dough, and then you stop for a couple of minutes, and then you go back to working the dough?
Guys,
how did you stop?
You didn't stop 18 minutes. Stop for 9 minutes.
If it makes the sound.
Well, it hasn't become chametz. You still got 18 minutes. You got 9 minutes to go. But can I go back to working the dough and reverse the process?
No.
Can I stop the clock? Can I undo the chametz process?
No.
Okay, so let's take a look. One of the great Rishonim from the late 1300s, really primarily in the 1400s, is the Trumas HaDeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin. He's quoted basically on every page of Shulchan Aruch, not by the Shulchan Aruch, but by the Ramah. Very, very mainstream in terms of Ashkenazi Psak. And the Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin. Isserlin. And what's interesting about the Trumas HaDeshen is that, you know, Shilas and Chuvos, like Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shilas and Chuvos, people sent him questions and he answered them. The Trumas HaDeshen wrote his own Shilas and wrote his own answers. But it was based on conversations that, you know, that happened. So he wrote it as response, as question and answers. But again, it wasn't, you know, like you read Igros Moshe, it says like, you know, Moshe Feinstein says like who sent the question and what the date when the question was from. Okay, but the Trumas HaDeshen is very important work of Shilas and Chuvos. Okay, so here's what he says in Source 16. Hod the kaimala, that which we hold. The imsha habatzeg below misaskim kashir hiluch mil chashvina lekechametz. That which we have as an opinion, as halacha, that if a person leaves the dough without asek, without busyness, for the amount of time it takes to go a mil, which we've defined as 18 minutes, chashvina lekechametz, that makes it chametz. But what if you didn't pause for 18 minutes? You didn't pause for 18 minutes in a row. It was divided over two stages. And you went back to working the dough in the middle. But if you were to add up, so to speak, you know, the 9 minutes before and the 9 minutes after, right? It would be a mil. Mi asrinan labatzik mishum chimatz ki agavna olav. Right? Meaning, once the clock starts, once you stop, so you're busy with the dough, you took your hands off. So now, is it 18 minutes no matter what? Or can I pause the clock? Can I stop the clock? Can I even maybe somehow reset the clock? So says the Trumas HaDeshen, an amazing thing. He says, and we'll read just where it's bolded. He says, you know, quotes the Gemara that we studied today, Memvav, Memches, Lamites. And then he says, one of the rabbis of the generation suggested the following, and you'll see he agrees with it. V'chad mirabaisei heishivli sheyesh l'chalik b'davar. Where it's bolded. He said, one of the great rabbis of the generation made the following distinction. De'im ha'esek bein shehiya l'shehiya esek gamarhu. What's called really working the dough? What's considered working the dough, working the dough? So if it's an asek gamor, if you really go back to kneading the dough with great strength, kigon beitas hayadayim babatzek, if a person is really manipulating the dough with his hands, kigon haridut shmeradim asamatos beitz agol, or if you're really rolling out the dough, if you're pressing the dough, right, rolling it out. If it's a real asek, ki aygavna ein hashi'ios mitstarfim. So then the time that you spent in the middle, so to speak, reworking the dough will prevent those periods of time from combining to 18 minutes. The asek kezel, look at these words, yochol levato mashekvar hischil eschametz. Because this type of asek, by working so diligently on the dough, it can almost be mevatel, it can undo the beginning of the chametz process. Aval esek acher muat, but if you just poke the dough a little bit, you know, you're not really working the dough, you're not really being properly busy with the dough, afal pi, even though, sheyesh bo koach la'akev shlo yaschir l'eschametz, even though at the beginning of the process, being a little bit busy with the dough is enough to prevent the process from starting, but once the process has started, you can't stop it just with a little bit of effort. If you want to pause the clock, then it needs to be an asek gamor. It needs to be a real asek. You need to be truly busy with it. But otherwise, it's not going to work. And he ends, he says, v'chein nira l'chalik. And he says, I think this chiluk is correct. The distinction between an asek gamor versus a person who's just... So again, so before the chametz process kicks in, maybe it's enough to just move the dough around a little bit. But once it kicks in, once the chametz process kicks in, the only way to stop the clock, so to speak, is an asek gamor. Yeah.
Do you like pass the matzah around and like refresh the 18 minutes? Like let's say.
So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the Trumas HaDeshen says there's a way to undo, to reverse the process. Right? to try to reverse the problem. Now again, we would rather, again, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, ideally from the time you started, there shouldn't be a break, afilu rega echad, not even for a second. But if there was a break in the action, and again, going back to our drips, right? The drips, we said, have to be what? What did Rav Papa say? It has to be drip, 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 drip. There can't be any break in the action, because if there's a break in the action, maybe we'll start adding up the time in between the drips, and eventually if it adds up to 18 minutes, then the clock is up.
So, I don't know, it feels, so the 18 minutes is necessary, it's on the matzah, not on the person, really?
Again, the person has the ability to prevent the chibutz process from starting, or to as long as a person's osek in it, right? Even though his hands are warming up the matzah, in other words, the hands actually speed up the process, but as long as you keep going at it, it will never complete that chametz process. Okay? Good? So that's the halacha, that's the sugya. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay? So let's spend just a couple of minutes. Let's relearn the sugya now in machshava. Okay? Rav Alexandri, the Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, source 17. Rav Alexandri, when he would finish davening Shemona Esrei, he would say the following tefillah. It's really one of my favorite tefillahs. Such a beautiful tefillah. Okay, listen to this tefillah. Ribon ha'olamim, Master of the Universe. This is a Pesach Dika tefillah. Ribon ha'olamim, source 17. Master of the world. Galoi v'yadua lefanecha. Shiritzoneinu la'asos ritzonecha. Hashem, you know that I want to be a good Jew. I don't want to be a slave to Paro. I don't want to be a chametz dika person. You know I want to be a good Jew. You know in my heart of hearts, I want to be a good Jew. Umi ma'akev, but what gets in the way? What stops me from being my best self? What stops me from getting rid of the Lashon Hara that I sometimes speak? What stops me from getting to davening on time? What stops me from saying no to my Yetzer Hara says, come on, let's go do A, B, or C? What stops me? Says the Gemara, so'or shebe'isa v'shibud malchios. Two things stop me. The so'or, the leaven, in the Isa, in the dough, v'shibud malchios, and the fact that we live in Galus, the fact that we're enslaved to the malchios, to the governments that are not our own. We're not living in a Torah society. There's many more others than there are Orthodox Jews. We're in Galus. We don't have Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's been 2,000 years since we had Beis HaMikdash. So that stops us from being our best self. Yihi ratzon milfanecha shetatzilenu miyadam Hashem. Please save us from their hands. Right? Baruch Hu, come save us. Yish amd alav asinu v'lanu. Shbachol dover dora owned him aleinu l'chal oseinu. There's all sorts of opposition, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. That's the tefillah. Hashem, save me from their hands. V'nashuv la'asos chukei ritzoincha b'lev avshalim. And then I'll be able to do what you want me to do with a full heart. 100%. I'll give it my all. Chever, what is the sa'or shebe'isa that the Gemara is talking about? The leaven in the dough. Interesting mashal, no? The leavening agent in the dough, says Rashi, in source 18, Yetzahara shebil yivenu. The Yetzahara in our hearts, shebil vavenu, hamachmitzenu. The Yetzahara that makes us become chametz. The Yetzahara that makes us become chametz. I'll tell you what the Marsha says on this Gemara. The Marsha says, two examples. There's the chametz in the heart, and then there's the shibud malchus. You don't have it on the page in front of you, but the Marsha says an amazing thing. The Marsha says these two things that the Gemara lists correspond to two different ways that we don't become our best selves. The Su'or Shabi'isa, what happens when the leavening agent is put in the dough? It causes the dough to what? To rise. Right? So one way that we end up not serving Hashem properly is that the Yetzirah gets into our hearts and it causes us to what? It causes us to the dough to rise. And it makes the dough look like it's more than it is. Another one way to destroy yourself is to go through life thinking you're a big shot, being a Baal Gaiva. Gaiva is one of the most destructive midos of all. The Rambam says, even though we walk the middle path, when it comes to Gaiva, we have to rid ourselves of Gaiva completely. To be a Baal Gaiva, to be a haughty person, is one of the most destructive things. So one way that the Yetzer Hara destroys us is he tries to make us what? To think we're the greatest gift to the world. Which on a certain level we are. This is why we feel that way. Right? But we become Bali Gaiva and that becomes destructive. The other way that we end up destroying ourselves is Shibud Malchios. When you're living in a world, right, where there are seems to be infinitely more Christians and Muslims than Jewish people. And even amongst the Jewish people, how many are practicing Jews? How many are really dedicated, loyal Jews? So Shibud Malchiah sends you in the other direction to think that, well, you're a total nobody. You're nothing shiva nothing. Like I told you, like that New York Times cover story from, about 20 years ago. Right, when it had a statistics, it was talking about the predictions of what the world's religions are going to be, percentage-wise, by the year 2030. Right, and Judaism is less than 1%. Less than 0%. It doesn't even register on the scale. That's how tiny we are compared to the religions of the world. So on the one hand, there's a part of you that's saying, I'm so great, but that can be so destructive. The part of you that says, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. I don't even register in the world's statistics. And that also could destroy a person. So we're davening to Hashem. Hashem, help me to find the proper balance. Help me to walk the middle path. That's how the Maharsha explains this Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik had a different way of explaining the Gemara. He said a beautiful thing. And it's quoted in Source 19. The Rishimos Shi'urim are from Rav Soloveitchik. Rabbi Reichman wrote up the Shi'urim of Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said an amazing thing. He quotes the famous Rambam. Chaver, you know this Rambam. We learned it many times. What do you do if a guy refuses to give his wife a get? You beat him up until he says, Rotza ani, until he says, I want to give the get. And the Rambam says, how does that work? A get that's given by force is not a kosher get. It has to be given willingly. What does the Rambam say? Because deep down in his heart, every Jew wants to do the right thing. Right? So when he says, I want, he really does want. In his heart of hearts, he wants. So explains of Soloveitchik, he quotes that Rambam, and then he explains in Source 19 where it's bolded. Umavua midivrei HaRambam, on the last page. What becomes clear from the words of the Rambam, sheyesh l'chol Yehudi shtei b'chinos shel ratzon. Every Jew has an inner ratzon, and every Jew has an outer ratzon. Says Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully, the ratzon pnimi, lasos kol ha-mitzvos, my inner desire to do what's right, ulisrachik min averos, that I don't want to do any averos, v'zer ratzono ha-amiti, that's my true inner ratzon, that's what Rabbi Alexandria is saying in this tefillah, Hashem, you know full well, goloi v'yadua lefanecha, you know that in my heart of hearts, I am kulo matzah, right? You know that inside I'm kulo matzah. Matzah is the food of Amunah. You know that not for a second do I question you, Hashem. Not for a second do I not serve you, Hashem. Right? My inner ratzon, I'm perfect. But my outer ratzon, unfortunately, gets manipulated. By what? By the Yetzirah. By the suffering of Galus. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the last three lines, ratzon chitzoni. But my outer ratzon, shemush from Yetzirah v'shibud ha-galus. That part, the outside of myself, is not always so perfect. Sometimes it does become chametz. And that was Rabbi Alexandria was davening. My inner ratzon is pure. But I hope, Hashem, that my outer ratzon should align with my inner ratzon. My outer expression should match my inner expression. And I should be able to serve you a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what? Belev Shalem. I should be able to serve you completely. Manishtana halayla zemikol halaylos, shebechol halaylos, because much of my life is what? Chametz u'matzah. Some days I'm chametz, some days I'm matzah. Halayla azeb, when I free myself from Mitzrayim, I can become kulo matzah. I can be kulo matzah. I can be fully and completely dedicated to a Kadosh Baruch. So now, chevra, let's learn the Bnei Yisasar. Says the Bnei Yisasar an amazing thing. You know what's unique about Jews? We don't just try to check the box when we do a mitzvah. The Gemara has a concept of serving Hashem, Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim Shlema. Complete Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. How many limbs do we have to our body? Isaac, how many limbs do we have to our body? Corresponds to the number of mitzvos I say, 248. 248 positive mitzvos. And I try to serve Hashem with all of my limbs. Right? But every limb has an outside and an inside. The outside of my arm is that I have an arm. I'm not just talking about biologically outside of it. I'm saying I have a physical arm. But my arm is representative of something spiritual. There's a spiritual left arm that I have. So really, I don't just have 248, right? I have 248 on the outside, and I have 248 evarim pnimim, 248 on the inside. Right? So 248 plus 248 is 496. It's gematria malchus. So the next one says, that's called Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim Shlema. To have complete Kabbalas Ol, to really establish Shem's Malchus, my outside and my inside have to align. That's Rav Alexandri's tefillah. I don't want to just be a good guy on the inside. I want my outer actions to reflect that. So he says an amazing thing. Look at the Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar says in source 20, look at these words. They're beautiful. Daven them with me. They're beautiful words. Vine bias ha'odam el olam haza. When a Jew comes to this world, your inside is already good. Your 248 internal limbs, so to speak, are already good. But now I got to do it with an actual physical body that wants to use its body for all sorts of olam haza activities. A person comes to this world, lahayir ramach evari nishmaso, to illuminate the 248 limbs of his soul, al yedei ramach maisa mitzvos, by way of the 248 mitzvos, shemakaimim ba'olam haza, that he does in this world. Now, he says, v'hine l'chol mitzvah yesh gvul mugbal ofen asiyasa kehil choseha, ze kosher v'ze pasol. The basic gvul, what's a gvul?
Border
or boundary. The basic border or boundary. The little box that you want to get that check that I did the mitzvah. The basic border or boundary of every mitzvah has limitations. It has halachos. Kosher or not kosher. Did I check the box or not? Did I do the mitzvah or not? But in terms of hiddur mitzvah, when you decide I'm going to do the mitzvah better, there's no limitations to that. Is this esser kosher or not kosher? Are my tefillin kosher or not kosher? Is this a violation of Shabbos or not? Check or X, yes or no. But when it comes to hiddur mitzvah, when it comes to dikduke mitzvah, there's so much more that I can choose to do. Aval dikduke mitzvah is third line. Mashakol echad miyisom midaktik b'chumros lasosan ba'ofen hayoser knows to do the mitzvah more beautifully. Lezeh ein gvul mugbal. There are no limitations. How much feeling you put into the mitzvah. There's no limitations. The simcha you get when you eat matzah at the Seder, whether it's kosher matzah or not, there's a halacha. But the feeling that you put into the mitzvah, or whether you decide to what? Have matzah, which is not just kosher by the most basic standard, but you try to do a hiddur mitzvah. Ein ledavar sof, you can do as much as you want. Ki zeh machmir bakach vekach, vezeh medakteg yoser. This one says, I'm machmir about this. This one says, well, I'm machmir about that. And the example that the Bnei Yisachar gives is matzah. Now, you'll notice, where is this piece from? This is from the Bnei Yisachar Ma'amari Chodesh Tishrei. He's talking about a sukkah. Because he's talking about, every time you do a mitzvah, there's an or pnimi and an or makif. There's an inner light and there's a surrounding light. The sukkah is sort of that image of what? Of being enveloped by a mitzvah. You're surrounded by the walls of the sukkah. So that's actually the context of what he's talking about, where he's talking. But he says, I want to give you an example of a mitzvah that the Jewish people are so stringent about. We try to go above and beyond, and it's such a beautiful, it's not a religious anxiety, it's not an OCD. It's an expression of our what? Of our desire to want to do more, to be kula matzah, right? To be a full-fledged Jew, to get the se'or shebe'isa, the leaven in my heart, out of my heart. So he says in the fourth line in the middle, l'mashal, mitzvos matzah. When it comes to making matzah, hine gvul ha-mitzvah, hu lishmor minachimutz. The basic, obviously, framework of the mitzvah is not that it shouldn't become chametz. Hena chitim, hena kemach. With regard to the grain, with regard to the wheat. V'chein ha'afia. With regard to the baking, there's a gavul. Right? Did I guard im shamar mishas tchina? Did I at least guard the kernels of grain? Did I watch over it from the time that the kernels were ground? L'das rova poskim. According to most, that's sufficient. That's called shmura matzah. If you watch the grain from the time you ground up the kernels and made it into flour, according to most poskim, that's called shmura matzah. Uveshas afia, when it came to baking, lo iniach ha'isa b'lo esek chai minutin, not to leave it for 18 minutes without it being baked. Hareza matzah k'shera l'mitzvah, that's certainly a kosher matzah. Ve'im lo shamar mishas tchina, and if you didn't watch it from the time you ground it up, o iniach ha'isa b'lo esek, and if you left it for more than 18 minutes, psula l'mitzvah, then it's no good, right? Either in or out. That's the basic mitzvah. Hine zeh hu gvul ha-mitzvah. Aval ha-maschil ha-medaktik b'mitzvah sa-shem yisbarach ba'ava. But a person who says, I don't want to just check the box so I don't get in trouble with God. A person who says what? Azriel Tzvi, a person who says, I love mitzvos. He's medaktik lishmor hachitim mishas ktsira. He says, I'm going to watch over the bread. I'm going to watch over the grain from the time of what? From the time of harvesting. That's a bigger job. Watching the grain from the time it was harvested, that it shouldn't become. Ledas kama gedolei poskim. This is the opinion of some, and it's a chumrah. Uve esek ha'afia, he says, leval tisha ha'isa karega, that I don't stop what? Manipulating the dough even for a second. I know I have 18 minutes. But if I really want to be careful, I don't stop. I make sure that not for a second do I stop. And a person who's really particular will make sure we don't even reuse the vessels. We get a different rolling pin in between, right? To wash it off and to restart. And the B'nai Yisrael says right there in the middle of the paragraph, Teza Yedidi, you should know my beloved friend. B'nai Yisrael is writing to us. Shekol zeh lo davar reiku. It's not a silliness. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when you decide I want to be something bigger. I want to do something more. And don't say it's not necessary. It is necessary. If you want to have a deep relationship with Hashem and Torah and mitzvot, it is necessary. The Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim Shleima. If you want to be a full Jew, inside and out, like Rav Alexandria was davening, in my heart of my hearts, of course I'm good. I'm kula matzah. But on the outside, sometimes I'm chametz. So if I want to be a full-fledged Jew, all of these chumras, all of these milei de chasidei, they're so valuable. V'nei kol mitzvah miyuchedes laheir eza eivar be'evari nishmaso. And it lights up the evarim of my soul, not just an or panimi, but an or makif. It transforms a person completely. So, Chaver, let's go back to our sugya. Right? Who is the dough? Every one of us is the dough. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah calls Adam HaRishon. It says that when Chava led Adam to sin, she ruined Chalaso Shal Olam. She ruined the Chal of the world. She ruined the dough of the world. A person is a dough. And the Yetzer Hara and the mistakes that we make is trying to turn our life into chametz. And our job is to what? What we're learning in the halacha, what we're learning in the sugya, is that our job ideally is what? Is that there should never be a break in our avodas Hashem. Now I know that sounds very demanding. So I'll lighten the load. Before we finish the shiur, we have a couple minutes left. I'll make sure to lighten the load. But ideally, if I want to be a full-fledged Eved Hashem through and through, the goal is to what? That there shouldn't even be, like the Shulchan Aruch said, not even a rega where you stop manipulating the dough. I want to be a person who's always, always, always working the dough. I'm trying my best to serve Hashem in everything that I do. Let's ask a halachic question. So you said Birchas HaTorah this morning, and now we're learning Torah. Great. And then you go to work, or you go to some college classes for a couple of hours, and then you want to come back to the Beis Medrash to learn. Do you make a new Birchas HaTorah?
No.
Of course not. Everyone knows the halachas, of course not. Why not? Tosos and Brachos on Daf, Yud Aleph on Beis, says, why not?
Because we're always
in. You took a break. You took a break for several hours. Tosos and Maseches Brachos, listen to the words, you don't have it in front of you. Tosos says, you know why you don't make another bracha? Deshani Torah she'eno miya'ish daitov dekol sha adam mechuyav lilmod. A person is not miya'ish. He doesn't separate from Torah even for a second, because at every moment he needs to learn, he wants to learn. And yes, of course, as a human being, he has other responsibilities, and Hashem knows that. Hashem's not upset at you for that. But the ideal is v'hagisa bo yom v'layla. The ikar, the ultimate goal is what? That there shouldn't be a break even for a second. And therefore, when you come back to the Beis Medrash, what are you proving? When you have free time and you open a sefer, what are you proving? You're proving that I really am always connected to Torah. Not for a second do I disconnect from learning Torah. I'm always on in my avodas Hashem. Ah, but you took a 3-hour break? Yeah, of course I did, because I needed to do my laundry, and I needed to eat food, and I needed to go to the bathroom, I needed to make a living, and I needed to get an education, and I needed, right? But as long as I come back, and as long as there's this latent awareness of my connection to Torah, as long as every second of my life I feel that I'm working for Hashem, even if I'm not learning every second, I'm not davening every second, I'm not doing a mitzvah in a formal sense every second, but as long as I'm working on my dough, as long as I'm developing myself, as long as I'm thinking about what I'm doing with my life, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then you can go forever. The Rambam says you can go your whole life without becoming chametz. Kol Hayom Kulo. Not like the Ritva, not like Rabbeinu Davar, who said, no, even if you keep busy, eventually you're still going to, the clock's ticking. That's so depressing. That means like no matter how hard I work, eventually it's going to become chametz. The Rambam says, no, as long as you keep steiging, as long as you keep trying, as long as you keep working, you can go forever, you'll never become chametz. I'll tell you a gevaldik story. The sefer called Yechahein Pe'er, by the Bendina Rav, who's a relative of the Sfas Emes. So he says an amazing thing. He tells a story in his sefer. He says, the Rebbe of Shmelka of Nikolsburg, in the city of Nikolsburg, there was a shochet. And the shochet, every time he shechted an animal, it was glatt kosher. Now that doesn't happen, because when you shecht an animal, you have to check, as we learned last week, about a trefa, right? You have to check for a trefa. Sometimes you check the animal, you find that the animal has a fatal illness, that even if it had a kosher shechit, it's not kosher. This guy, every animal he shechted, mamish, beautiful, glatt kosher. So Shmelka went to this shochet, he said, what's your deal, man? Like, how do you do that? So he says, it's not me. He says, there's a guy in the marketplace. I go to the marketplace when I buy animals. I met this fellow there. He tells me, he points, he says, buy this one, buy that one. This one's good. What, does he have x-ray vision? How does he know?
He's a kid, right?
So Shmelka says, I want to see this guy. So he goes to the marketplace. There's two different discourses of the story. I'm going to tell you one version of it. So he goes to the marketplace, he sees this fellow, and he says, you're the one who's been pointing out to the shochet that which animals are glatt kosher, which animals are perfectly healthy. So he says, no, it's not me. So okay, so who is it? He says, Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells me. He said, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, there were certain animals that were supposed to be karbanos, and because they weren't karbanos, so they have to be shechted, they have to be used for Shabbos and Yom Tov meals, so I make sure that they get to this shochet. So he says, Rav Shmelka said, you see Eliyahu HaNavi? He said, yeah, I have an in with Eliyahu HaNavi. So he said, do me a favor. Next time you see Eliyahu HaNavi, ask him why the gullus has been so long. Beis HaMikdash in a long time. Can you find out like what the Arichas HaGullus is about? So he says to him, this is what he said to him. He said, well, it was right before Pesach. He said, it's almost Pesach. For sure Eliyahu is going to visit me on Pesach. I mean, everyone hopes Eliyahu is going to stop by on Pesach. But he's like, I regularly see Eliyahu HaNavi. He's for sure going to stop by on Pesach. So he says to Shmelka of Nikolsburg, come to me after Pesach and I'll ask Eliyahu. So he comes to me after Pesach. He said, you saw Eliyahu? Yeah, of course. So he said, you asked the Kasha? Yeah, I asked him the question. What did he say? He said, Eliyahu said an amazing thing. He said, Eliyahu told me that the four questions of Manashtana correspond to the four exiles of Jewish history. Bavel, Paras Umada, Yavan, and Edom. We're in the fourth Gullus. Rome destroyed the second base of Mikdash. So he said the answer to the Arichas HaGullus is the fourth question. What's the fourth question?
Well, that's the question.
Manashtana halayla zemikol alelos. Shebachol alelos. Yeah? How do we sit? Bein Yoshvin ubein Mesubin. Halayla hazeh kulanu Mesubin. He said that's the answer to the Arichas HaGullus. What does that mean? In this fourth Gullus, everyone, kulanu Mesubin. In this fourth Laila, in this fourth exile, everyone is what? Everyone is Mesubin. Everyone is leaning. Everyone's relaxing. No one's working hard in their avodas Hashem. Everyone wants to make life easier. Everyone wants to figure out a way to just make life more convenient and easier. We have all sorts of advances in our life that make life a lot easier. But unfortunately, instead of taking the conveniences of this world and making our physical lives easier so we have more time to be diligent with the dough, which is our life, kulanu mesubin, everyone's chilling. Everyone's sitting back. Everyone's trying to find a way to just make life easier and easier and easier. And that's not going to bring Mashiach. That's not going to bring the Gula. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi revealed on the Seder night, the fourth Gullus. We have to try to work a little harder for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember years ago when Rav Weinberger was here, he told us once a base of Ram from the Slonim Rebbe, the base of Ram of Slonim. He said that we say in the Seder, we think about the two mitzvahs that we were given, right? The Dam Pesach and the Dam Milah. And what does it say? What does the Navi say? Hashem says, I passed by and I saw you were misboseses b'damayich. V'amr lach b'damayich hayi. V'amr lach b'damayich hayi. However, what does it mean to be misboseses b'damayich? You know what the word misboseses means? Wallowing. To be wallowing in blood. So the base of Ram, the Slonim Rebbe gave a very powerful picture. He said, you know what that looks like? I'll tell you what that looks like. He said, imagine a soldier on a battlefield. Yeah? You're a soldier on a battlefield. You're fighting for your country. And all of a sudden, you're ambushed. And you're shot. And you got hit. And you fall to the ground. And you're wallowing in your blood. Right? You're badly injured, but you're alive. You got shot in the leg. Yeah? Nu, what are you going to do? What choice do you have? What choice do you have? Well, you could give up and die. Or what?
Pushing.
You can keep pushing. You could be there with blood spurting out of you, wallowing in your blood, but still, what choice do I have? I'm just going to roll over and die? Or I'm going to try to keep fighting? Right? That's the image. The Slonim Rebbe said that's the image of a Jew at the end of days. That the Yetzer Hara has beaten us, that we're so beat up. Right? And we're wallowing in our blood. We're just trying to hold on for Mashiach already. It's 2,000 years. We can't. How much longer are we supposed to hold on? And yet we're still fighting. And that's a beautiful image. Hashem walks by and he sees you're wallowing, you're struggling. I see that you're struggling. I see that the dough is becoming chametz. Right? And you're trying and you're trying and trying. Chaver, what did the Truma Sadeshin tell us? What happens if you had an off day? What do you do the next day? What happens if some of the clock, you stop, right? What are the Truma? This is Shiloh, right? You were working the dough and then what? And then you took a break and the clock started. So what was the Truma Sadeshin's Shiloh? Can you what? Can you somehow stop the clock? Can you reset the clock? Can you be mevatel the chimutz process? What did the Truma Sadeshin say? If you come back to it with what? If you come back casual, you can't reverse it. But if you make an Asa Gomer out of it, if you come back strong, instead of allowing yourself to what? To feel defeated. But if you come back strong, you can actually reverse the process. Ideally, like the Shulchan Aruch said, ideally we're supposed to never let go for a second. But if you let go, if you stopped a little bit, so come back strong. Come back strong. Okay, Chaver, let's end with the last source, and I just want to tell one quick story. We'll end it just, mamish, 2 more minutes. Because this seems like a lot of pressure on us, no? It's a lot of work for us. It means work and work and work. And that means if you have an off day, the next day is not enough to just like dabble. You got to come back to shiur strong. You got to, if I didn't daven, I have to daven my next one yesterday very strong. It's hard because when I missed, so I, you know, when I'm not in a good pattern of davening, so it's harder to daven. When I, you know, when I haven't been learning strong, it's hard to come back strong. So there's one other way to keep the dough being manipulated in a strong way. There's one other way, and that is what the Bnei Yisrael says in the last source. For the sake of time, I'll tell it to you outside. He says, what's the difference between chametz and matzah? Chametz, things happen on its own. You let it sit, and it rises on its own. Matzah, right? Matzah, you have to keep working it. So we've been learning until now. We've been putting that as an achrayis on us, as Ovdei Hashem, to keep working hard in our avodas Hashem, which is true. There's no two ways about it. I can't tell you otherwise. Eliyahu HaNavi said, too many people are trying to just chill. Everyone wants to sit back and lean. Everyone wants to make life easy. People don't want to work hard. Tosos is hard. There's no two ways about it. There's no simple solution to the fact that Tosos is hard. So if you care about Tosos, you're going to have to work hard. There's no shortcut to that. Unfortunately, there's no shortcut. But there's another way to what? To keep the dough moving. Bnei Sasser says, what is the image of matzah always being manipulated versus chametz? The Egyptians believed in the mazalos. Nisan actually is the month of the strongest mazal. Mazal means that there's some pattern, some natural, quasi-supernatural, natural pattern that Hashem has arranged in the world, where things just happen. You're bound by a certain astrological sign, the horoscope, things just happen. Getting out of Mitzrayim, Hashem coming to Mitzrayim, the message that Hashem wanted to convey more than anything else is that things don't just happen. There's always an input. There's always someone who's making it happen. So the image of the person actually making the matzah, says the Bnei Yisrael, is really what? Is a Jew living with the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's always molding our life. That anything that happens in my life, good or bad, it's because Hashem is what? Hashem is involved in my life. V'yadatim ki ani Hashem. Mitzrayim was the world of mazalos, where everything is just happening on its own. The world of matzah is a world of recognizing that what? That everything is input, that it's Hashem's involvement in my life. So, Chaver, another way for us to not become chametz in our life is to live life with the realization that everything that's happening to me is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will prevent my dough from becoming chametz. If I really believe that everything that happens in my life, nothing is random, nothing's by chance, nothing's bound by some astrological sign. We live l'malam in ateva, l'malam in amazalos. When I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is molding everything that happens in my life, that's another way to prevent yourself from becoming chametz. But lastly, I want to just tell you one, mamash, a 1 minute story, just to end, just to be Messiah with an amazing little story. And to daven for us, for Klal Yisrael. Because if you think about it, right, there's another way to keep the matzah from becoming chametz. And that is not just this image of a Jew working hard in the Avodas Hashem, or not just a Jew who has a muna that everything that's happening in his life is from Hashem. But if you think about it, the poor matzah, the poor dough, we're beating it up all the time. We're mamish pounding it, we're beating it. The suffering of a Jew is also the yisurin that we go through in our life, the hardship of our life, also has to count to prevent it. Why is Hashem beating us up so much? That prevents us from becoming chavetz. So I'll just end with an amazing, amazing little maisa. In 1980, the Lulav Rebbe of Bnei Brak, Moshe Mordechai Biderman, that's out. He said there were tremendous tzaras that he was hearing about right before Pesach. There was a lot of bad things that were going on. And people kept coming to him with all sorts of brokenness, terrible things. Things happening in the world, things happening in Klai Yisrael, things happening in Bnei Brak, Rachmana Litzlan, terrible, terrible tragedies. And he was an address for people's tzaras, and he was so broken up over it. So he came to the Seder that year, and he began Magid, and he said, Halach Ma'anya. Now, you know, in some Haggadahs, it says, Hey Lachman, not Halachman, Hey Lachman. So he did this. This is what he did. He said, Hashem, I'm going to do something very chutzpahdik, but I'm going to do it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He took the matzah, and he held up the matzah, and he said, Hey Lachman, right? Or Halach, literally, this is the bread of affliction, but Hey Lachman, it could also be understood, here is the bread of affliction. As if to say, he said, Hashem, here it is. Here is the bread of our suffering. Here it is. I'm giving it to you. I don't want it anymore. We've suffered enough. We've been eating this matzah for too long. We've been working too hard to keep our lives from becoming chametz, from going off the derech completely for too long. It's exhausting. The Rambam said you can go all day, keep going. It's exhausting. Even with my emunah, it's exhausting. And even if you'll tell me that you've been beating us up throughout Golis to keep us from becoming chametz, we're done. Ad kan. Hey Lachmanya, here is the bread of affliction. Take it back. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to hear about another person who was diagnosed with this. I don't want to hear about another tragedy. I'm done. Hey Lachmanya. And then he said to Hashem, and if you think I'm being chutzpahdik, I have a right to be chutzpahdik. He said, my name is Moshe Mordechai. He said, like Moshe Rabbeinu who said that if you don't forgive the Jewish people, Machaini Nami Sifracha, erase me from your book. He said, I'm prepared also. My name is Moshe. Hashem, I don't care what you're going to do to me for being chutzpahdik. I can't bear to watch the suffering of the Jewish people anymore. And he said, and if Moshe is not enough as chutz, my middle name is Mordechai. He said, Mordechai sent Esther in. Mordechai and Esther became prohibited to each other. They were married. She wasn't allowed to be with her husband anymore. She was Moser Nefesh. Mordechai is screaming and crying, doing whatever he can to save Klal Yisrael, even if it means putting his neck on the line, nearly being killed by Haman. He says, like Mordechai at Tzaddik, I'm prepared to be Moser Nefesh. He said, Hashem, we've suffered enough. Hey Lachmanu, take away the bread of affliction. So Chavra, our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this, that we have to say, Hashem, listen, we're trying really hard. We learned the sugi. We know the halacha. We understand. The Rambam is trying to buy us time. Right? We're trying so badly. We don't want to become chametz. And we want to believe that Hashem is manipulating our lives. With our emunah, we believe that every second of our life is protecting us from becoming chametz. But at the same time, we have to say to Hashem on the night of faith, right? Hey Lachmanya, take away the matzah. Take us back to Yerushalayim. We want Karban Pesach this year. We want Pesach Mikdash this year. We want the Gula Shlema this year. We're going to be full-fledged Jews. Okay, we should be Zaycha. Shkoyach. Okay. I hope you enjoyed. It's a good sugya.
Guys, for everyone in this class, by the way, last night, to 25% of